When we look at the church, we have to wonder if what it looks like today reflects the designer's original inspiration. At the heart, the church stands for love, hope, faith, and goodness for all the world. Cathedrals and basilicas and sanctuaries can be the most beautiful buildings on earth. But for some, the church represents judgment and hypocrisy and division. For others, it's just filled with people who set an unattainable standard for living the perfect life, saying things like, only the righteous belong. So what is the church really? If the original design and intention was so perfectly pure, then maybe whatever is wrong with it is really something wrong with us.
That's a great place to start, is to ask the question, what might be wrong with us? What might we be missing? And today I'm going to wrap up scaffolding week four, this whole series, with if there's something wrong with us, what are we going to do to change it, and how are we going to do that? And if you have been watching online, or you've been in here and you've missed a week or two, you're going to need to go back and watch, because I'm going to cover some things, and when I do that, I'm going to make some assumptions about, you know, a lot of stuff that I talked about for the past 3 weeks. And so I'm going to broadly skip through the past 3 weeks and then lead us through today to where we're going to take this vision statement, and it's going to become boots on the ground for every single one of us as we walk out of here today. But to recap this series, in week one, we taught and learned that the church is built on Jesus plus nothing. And that's a spiritual truth and a practical truth at the same time, in the sense that you don't join the body of believers until you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot of different things that we join the church for. There's some things. We might join for the music or the pastor or the location or all that, but actually, spiritually, you don't become a part of the body of Christ until you place your faith in Christ. Jesus said about the confession that he was God, that he was the Savior, that he would build his church on that truth. So once you place your faith in him, you join the church. And all the somethings that might lead people to that are not the church. So you've got to strip away and be reminded all the time of why we gather. We are a gathering of people with a singular purpose, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And then we talked about in week two, the church can become more about us than Jesus. And this happens with any community, any group of people, families, companies, whatever it is. The gravitational pull of people is inside. It's to become insular, and ultimately what that means is we become a closed community. We care about us, we think about us, we live for what we think is important, and even when we don't understand that it's happening, there's a gravitational pull, and it pulls on our interests, it pulls on our motives, it's the things that we care about, the things that we talk about, the things that drive us as we sit around. And we may study or grow or pray. It's so easy to just close out others. And in fact, the entire message of the gospel is to never be a closed community, but to constantly have people who are not here on our heart in such a way that we're alarmed. Not just that we are welcoming, we're alarmed and we welcome outsiders in. And we actually go and get them. And we talked about that in week three, when we looked at the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, that God wants his kids to have his heart. Jesus in Luke is sitting with a religious group of people, the Pharisees, who have a closed community. They live for themselves, and they not only just move in the gravitational pull of being a closed community, they in fact design their community to push out those who didn't follow the laws and the rules that they had created. And some of those rules were outside of God's laws, but they cloaked them in the language that they were God's laws. And so they kind of created this very nasty kind of separate group of people. And Jesus, in teaching those men, because he has people who are outsiders drawing near to him, he says, you guys have closed off the community, and this is not the way I think. That's why I'm sitting with tax gatherers and sinners, and it's not my Father's heart. And then he goes and he tells three stories: story about a lost sheep, story about a lost coin, and a story about a lost son. And in that message, in that story, we see the father's heart. We see a father who has two sons. One son went away and squandered all of his wealth and begged to come back, and the father celebrated him. And when he was celebrating, the other son was upset with it. And in that story, that's you and me. That's the insider church people that are caring about themselves. And when the outsider comes in, we get upset. And the challenge in that is Jesus, or the father to the older son, pleads, you need to join me in welcoming these outsiders. You need to join me in having my heart. I'm having a celebration because my heart is about my lost kids. You've been here. You already have everything. Come on, join me at the table of celebration. And so we know that if the church is built on Jesus, and Jesus is a representative, and Jesus is in fact one with the Father, and that his heart is for the lost. So if we're going to actually build that church, the only way it's actually going to add members is when we care about the people that aren't here, is when we're concerned about the people who aren't concerned about the things of God. And so with all of that, that's all of week 1, 2, and 3. Last week we launched a new vision statement, and this is it: to cultivate in everything we do Jesus followers passionate about reaching people who don't follow Jesus. Now, if you stare at this for a little while and you sit in staff meetings and you sit with people, you start to feel some kind of cyclical nature of this, where you go, okay, so who's we? Okay, we're cultivating in everything we do. Is it you guys? Is it you personally? You're supposed to cultivate in everything you do, Jesus followers who don't follow Christ? Or is it, Joel, are you saying the church leadership is going to cultivate in everything they do a bunch of people that love people who don't follow Jesus? It kind of can become confusing. And the only reason I say that is because people have brought that up as we've talked about it. And so one of the questions with this is this a corporate vision statement, or is this personal? Is this like what we want you to take, that I'm supposed to, in everything I do, cultivate Jesus followers who don't follow Jesus, or who want to go and reach people? Or am I the product of the leadership training me to go and cultivate people and do that as well? And so we want you to understand with this vision statement, with this whole thing, that this top part is a corporate part. It's a part where we as the leaders are saying what we're going to do and what we're going to strive for as an organization. As a church organization, is we're going to lead and teach and continue to cultivate through our small groups, through small group training, through our leadership training, through our welcome team, through our kids ministry. We're going to constantly be putting the idea that the goal of your faith as you grow, that the purpose of your faith as you start to grow in your faith, is that you will be passionate about people who don't follow Jesus. So as a leadership team, as a corporation, as an organization of people who are following God, we want all of our leaders to be telling people the whole point. Everything we're doing is that we grow more in love with Jesus, and that the fruit of that, that the harvest of that will be that you start to care so much about people. So much about people. So we want to teach you that. We want to remind you of that. We want to show you that. And then we think that as you get that this fruit, the result of this vision, it does become personal. It does become personal to you, to where you go, man, if the church is living its life and doing all that it does to get me to grow in my relationship with Jesus, and the epitome of that is to reach people and love people and help people, then that's what I should be doing as well. That's what I should be living for. That's how I should view the world and view my faith. And so we're going to do things that cultivate this desire in you. And then we think that in order for you to be the most living example of what it looks like to follow Christ, that you should start to care about that. You care about that with your kids. You care about that with your friends. Everything you do is to cultivate in people this desire to go and reach people. So it's both. A lot of people have looked at this vision statement and have gone, so what will Sunday morning church look like? Is it going to be different? And the answer is no, not really. Because we already, on Sunday morning, operate with this idea in mind, that there are people in the room who don't know Jesus, don't follow him, don't understand church culture, don't understand parts of the Bible, and so we are going, you belong here, we want you here. We've done everything we do, from music to messaging to keeping it simple, all the different things with our kids, students, to try to say, everyone who wants to be here can be here. Everyone who wants to be a part of this is in. And we want you to start off here, and then we're going to grow you into someone who starts to care about people. And we've done certain things to reach people. So we're not going to look a whole lot different. But what we want this vision to do, when we talk about the church redesigned, it's not the Sunday morning gathering that's going to be redesigned. We're not going to start to look different and act different. And we're not going to try to find another David McCreary. Lord knows that'd be a bad idea. Like, we're not going to try. We're going to keep trying to make people laugh. We're going to keep trying to speak the language that people can understand. The main emphasis of this vision statement, this is everything. The main point is that you become redesigned. It's not when we think the church, you think, okay, the church is going to start doing stuff differently. Joel, are you going to dress different? Are you guys going to do different music? Are you guys going to get a different comedy? What are you going to have, different coffee? What are we going to do differently? We're not going to do a whole lot differently. When we sat down as a leadership team and we redid this vision, we didn't think, we're not already doing this as a leadership team. We're not already doing this as a church. We thought we are doing this. The problem is we don't think that everyone who calls 514 Church home cares about people who don't follow God and people who are far from God the way that we do. So we felt as leaders, there's a gap. There's a gap between why we do church the way we do, why we teach the way we do, why we lead the way we do, and every person who follows the leadership and follows Christ and goes to 514 Church caring about the lost the way that we do. So we shifted. We said, okay, Sunday morning we'll move to strategy in terms of our organization. We're going to keep speaking relevant language and keep doing all that. And the ship has sailed on that. If you don't speak people's language, you don't reach them. I mean, that's why Jesus became a human. I mean, it's just the way that church should be is we should try to be communicating in a relevant fashion. So we're going to keep doing that. But man, what we have to do is we have to get every single person in here caring at a heart level about the people who aren't in here. Care about the people who don't care. Care about the people who aren't here. And if we can transfer that to you guys, then we feel like that's the vision of 514 Church, is to cultivate organizationally in everything we do people who are passionate about reaching people who don't follow Jesus. So we win as an organization when everybody in the church starts to care more about a person who's not here than anything else. More about a person who doesn't have a relationship with God than anything else. That you lose sleep, you pray for, you're burdened by, you're passionate about someone who's not following God and not in the family of God. That is my burden. My burden is that I'm surrounded by a bunch of people who just stop worrying about all of this corporate togetherness and they are just burdened by someone who's not here. That you shift, that your mind shifts. And that's why when we did this whole series, we started off with this idea that the church is built on Jesus plus nothing. But what we grab onto is something. We know that you guys come because you grabbed onto something. We want you to monkey bar over from something back to Jesus and say, I care about what Jesus cares about. I'm falling more in love with Jesus. I know more about Jesus. And when you look at the life of Christ and you look at the body of his work, you see what the body of Christ should look like. And so you're not Jesus plus something. You're Jesus, whatever you say is important, I'll make important. And so what Jesus says is important becomes our driving factor. It becomes our core. It becomes what moves us. And what Jesus says is important because he's become what drives us is Jesus actually says it's someone.
What's important to me is someone. If you love me, love someone. If you love God, love people. The greatest commandment, Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The two become linked. The greatest commandment, two things that mean one thing. If you don't love people, you don't love God. It's powerful. One of the followers of Jesus, John, spent all this time with Jesus and then ended up teaching all of his followers that you guys say you love God, but you don't love your brother. If you don't love your brother, you're a liar and you're making God out to be a liar. You cannot say that you love God and you don't love people. The burden of the church should be someone. Jesus plus someone needs to be your personal mission. Your personal mission needs to be Jesus plus someone. It needs to be a person with a name, with a face, in proximity to you, who you are burdened by, who you are moving towards, because you, through the power of God, have been able to start loving someone more than you love yourself. Not just to bring them to church, but because you have interfaced with the heart of God. And you read Luke 15 and you went, whoa, that is the heart of the Father. He stands at a distance waiting for the lost. When the lost comes home, he celebrates them. He celebrates them. And so that's our burden. Our burden is to take this heart and say, please take this with you. Please take this with you. It's the church all the time. We talked about this. It's not about how we do church. We need to be the church, and you are the church. So you have to make this personal for you. So what we've done is we've tried to come up with something, no pun intended, to remind us that it's not about something. Isn't that funny? Kind of weird. We came up with something so that you would forget that it's about something, but the something is all designed to point you to the someone that it's all about. And so I'm wearing it, and on the back of this shirt it says this, someone over something. Someone over something. This is the new language and phrase that we want everyone in this church to adopt and to carry and to take and to start to live. And every time you see it and every time you think about it, you're thinking that someone matters more than something. That circumstances mean nothing compared to people. That relationships are so much more important than how the worship is at church than anything. And when you think about someone, you think about two someones every single time, because the first someone who's more important than anything is Jesus. Because the church is built on Jesus plus nothing. So you're thinking someone matters more than anything. It's Jesus. It's the person of Jesus who's God in the flesh. He matters more than anybody, and I am chasing after him. And because I'm chasing after him, he tells me, if you love me, you gotta get if you were sitting down with Jesus today, if you love me, you prove it by loving someone. If you love me, you prove it by loving someone. You can't say you love me and not love someone. That's not how this works. This whole thing is different. You don't just go through a sacrificial system and kind of have this vertical morality anymore. In the Old Testament, we go in, we sin, we go in, we work it out with God, and it all goes away and everything's okay. Jesus came down to earth, brought heaven to earth to say, now it's horizontal. Now it's horizontal. If you say that you love God, you have to love them. You say you love God, you have to love them. You have to move out. You have to move into people's lives. And so we want everyone to be constantly reminded that this is one of the ways we're going to cultivate the target for your heart. The target for your heart is someone. It's a person. It's someone who lives by you. It's someone you talk to. It's someone you worry about. It's someone who's not here right now. And it's not, man, I gotta tell them to turn the music down. That's a silly thing. That's a silly thing. I know that some of you are like, come on, do you really hear that? Yes. We hear people that make this place home harp about something. Something. When are we gonna do this? When are you gonna change that? And it's not like we have this church full of people who gripe, but there are people who say that they are all about God. All about God. But all they care about is something. All they care about, you know, the coffee ran out today. You know, we couldn't come in the church early enough. You know, no one said it. I mean, just all they care about is something. And when I get, just to be, I've matured a lot. If you knew me before, you know I matured a lot. But when someone comes up to me about something, and they're like a follower of Christ, and they're worried about something, and I'm going to go into this a little more, I literally want to look at them and go, who is here because you care about them more than that something? Like, how? Forget judging the leadership of the church for the something they're not doing. I'm judging you for the someone you're not reaching. I'm done. And you know what? There's a place for talking about the something because, I mean, here's a something. We spent some time on the something to remind us about the someone. It's time for that. Everything we're doing is to point back up to this someone. Who is it? Who is it? You wanna actually engage me? Start emailing me and telling me about the people we're not reaching. Be critical about something because you genuinely think it's getting in the way of reaching someone. Someone is the mission. Someone is your personal mission. This is the heart of today's message. Who is it? Who is it? You see, some of you are sitting here and you think someone is the mission, and yeah, I get that people need to be far from Christ or be brought close to who are far from Christ. But Joel, what's my role? I don't feel like I play a role in that. Like, I can bring them to you, and that's all fine. Church can be a great tool to help you reaching people. That's all fine. And you can invite people to church. And just by the way, like, sharing social media is the new inviting. You don't actually have to go up to someone and hand them something. You can share something with them on social media. That's the same way as inviting them. Just that's like it'll work. If you just start sharing, you'll start to engage people. But this is so much bigger than that, because someone is the mission and you're the someone to reach that person. And some of you are going, man, I don't feel qualified. You know, in the text, Paul, in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians, he says a couple of crazy things. He says, if any person is in Christ, this is in chapter 5, you can go read it. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. In chapter 5, he says, if any person is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things go away, new things come. And then he says, God basically did all he could to bring sinners close to himself. And they called it, he called it, Paul called it, the ministry of reconciliation. Bringing people who are far from God close to God through Jesus. Then he says, because you who have been brought near are now in Christ, you, in the absence of Christ, have become Christ to the world. And he says to them, you now are ambassadors for Christ. Raise your hand if you grew up in church and you ever heard you're an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador means that you have been commissioned by higher authority to go and represent that authority to people who are estranged and who you don't have a good relationship with. And so ultimately, people don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're lost. Jesus has given you and given you the ministry of reconciliation to bring people close to God, and he's made you the point person for the job to go and, like an ambassador would today, represent the United States to go build broken relationships into friendships. And the beauty of all this is that you do not have to be super qualified to represent the Father. Because one of the greatest things that you have in Christ is that he made you new, and the other people that you need to reach, they need to be made new too. And one of the worst things that can happen is if you're so different and you're so much better or you have so much together that you lose contact with the people, you lose an ability to connect with them. And so you actually, in your new state, if you're a new recent follower of Christ, are in the best position to go and reach people who are far from God. Because he made you new. And the next piece is that you are the person for this. God has made you new, and he will make other people new. But he also wants you to do it now, not later. Now, some people believe in this thing. You've never put it this way, but people from the 80s will know this. In this thing called trickle-down economics. All right, there are some people that believe in trickle-down evangelism. All right, now, I read an article about this in Christianity Today, and the whole idea was that there are some people that believe, you know, if you give all these tax cuts and all this stuff, and small business and capitalism, and then it all trickles down into more jobs. And, you know, there's truth to that or whatever. I don't have much to say about that. Thank the Lord. But what I do have to say is this. There are some people in the church that believe in this trickle-down evangelism thing, and here's what it looks like. It looks like everybody comes to church, and then they get saved, and then we spend time stopping and studying. And we study, and we learn about the Bible, and we learn how to do evangelism, and we learn how to reach out to people, and we learn, and over that time of maturation, after a couple years of just learning and growing, now we will, as a result of that, we'll have fruit that trickles down into reaching people. What studies have found is that churches who don't automatically send new believers out to do evangelism lose their ability to reach people. Lose their ability to reach people. Because what happens is you, as a new follower of Christ, you have relationships with people who are not followers of Christ. That's all your friendships. So what happens if you come to church and we just do this kind of, now we're going to study, is you build insider relationships with a bunch of people who believe what you believe in or who are growing in the same direction, and you move away from the people who need you. I mean, it's amazing what happens when you say, at the very beginning of my relationship, I'm also going to do that which makes me most mature in my expression of following Jesus. Because the ultimate goal of following Christ is to reach and help people. And the way that Jesus built this thing is that the day you are found, you can go help find. This is what it says in this article. It's fascinating. In reality, the longer it takes for new disciples to become disciple makers. Now, this might be some language you're like, this is church language. The more unlikely it is that they will prioritize this work. Over time, the gravitational pull of their new relationships in the church will extract them from their relationships with others who are far from God and his church. The stronger the signal the church sends of come and see over go and tell, the less likely personal evangelism will ever take place. What's worse, the more the pastor is observed as a teller rather than a doer, the less likely the flock will be personally engaged in the work of evangelism. What this means is that we need to go right now. We need to go right now. That if you're in a small group, you don't need another one. If you come to church, you don't need to come to both services. You need to be engaged in people's lives. And look, we heard Donald Miller do this talk on storytelling and how the storyteller should never, ever be the champion of their own story. And so with all humility, I don't want to use this as an example, but this part down here like freaked me out. And I need to be an example for you guys. And so I'm going to say this one thing. And it's all I'll say. And if you want to know more about me personally and how I live my life, you can ask some people who are close to me. Last week, my neighbor, who I've lived next door to for less than 2 years, joined the church. My neighbor. The first time I talked to him about having a relationship with Jesus, he and I were in a car to Muirfield, taking our kids to go to the tournament. We were friends. We spent time together. What mattered to me started to matter to him. And last week he went through Become Part 2 and joined this church. I do not just stand up here and tell you what you should do and not do it myself. This is what I believe in. I am passionate about individuals knowing Jesus. And I believe that every person who is in my path, God has strategically placed for me to love them the way he loves them. And I just am asking you to join me. And so it's definitely you. It's now. And it's someone close, not far. It's someone close. You don't have to figure this out. Like, you should think of this person right now. Who is this person who doesn't follow God, who's lost, who you should be alarmed by that and go after? John Acuff said this: the first church a neighbor visits is your driveway. You don't get to be a good church and a bad neighbor. Our job is to engage the people right next to us. Carmen said something in the video, the vision video that we showed. If you missed it, it's on Facebook and everywhere else. She said, wouldn't it be awesome if God would use you to be a part of someone's story following Christ? Wouldn't that be amazing? If you were part of that, if God like put you next to someone so that they would start to follow Christ. And if you're always focused on something, and if that something is always you, or you're always focused on your calendar or your schedule or your work or whatever it is, you are missing out on this great adventure that Jesus has set out for us to make it about someone, someone's face, someone's heart, someone's soul, someone's eternity. That's what he's called us to. We've been talking about this as a staff. One of the things that makes this so difficult is how simple it is. We hear from people, we want to know, what does this mean? What does this mean? It means make the most out of your relationships. It means engage people, show them that you care. One of the things we teach our small group leaders, and then I want to share with you today about that, because I don't want to be condescending. You go up to someone on the playground and ask to be a friend. But, I mean, some of it is like that. It's like build relationships with people. Take people places. Take people to lunch. Spend time with people. And as followers of Christ, what can happen is we, especially if we spend more time inside than outside, we become police, don't we? We become the kind of people who basically look for everyone that's doing something wrong, and then we think that our way of engaging them is writing them a ticket. Hey, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be that way. Or we live in such a way that we have our badge on and our hat on and our uniform on, and we are so great that we just distance ourselves. I don't know. I don't really hang out with a lot of on-duty police officers. And so what I want you to think is passengers, not police. Your job is to get into the driver's side of someone's life and go with them. Go with them. Go somewhere with people. Don't try to tell them where to do or tell them what not to do or tell them how. Engage people in relationship. Earn the right to be invited next to them. And when you are genuinely side by side in whatever that looks like, if you care so much about your faith, they will know it. If your faith matters to you, they'll know it. People can feel when you care about them. People know it. They can feel it. And so someone over something, I want you guys to think about that right now. Who is that someone? Because this is about a redesign of you and me. This is about us shifting our hearts off of ourselves, off of this meeting, and allowing this meeting to be this energizing reminder that there's a huge heart of God that says, please join me in this. Reach people, care about people, show them that I care by showing them how much you care. Now, there's people in this church that live this out. And I want to share a story with you about a man who goes to our church. His name is Chad. And Chad broke his back. He fell 80 feet. And broke his back. And through that process, he got addicted to drugs and painkillers, and it got him in a lot of trouble. And through therapy and through recovery, God started to show him in his life that he had something more for him. And that in the midst of all that challenge, in the midst of all that trial, that God had the same mission for him that he has for you and I. And because of his belief in this someone over something, there's people that are sitting in this room today. This is Chad's story.
First year or so, trying to figure out recovery, trying to get my relationship with God back. I had to go through some programs and get some knowledge about the disease of addiction and all that sort of thing. Just learning some spiritual principles and putting those in place in my life. One of the biggest ones is reaching out to others and helping other people, you know, and I've tried to do that, you know, and in my mind, it's, you know, I look at God as my Father. And when I feel like I'm going to meet God one day, I want him to say, well done, mm-hmm. You know. And I feel like this is my calling. But at the same time, I just want to help whoever God puts in my path.
Right.
I want to try to be a good person for them and use my experiences to help someone else out.
Hi, I'm Travis Evans, and this is my wife, Beth. A little over 10 years ago, I had the opportunity and blessing to go through a recovery program called the Spencer House. It was a 6-month treatment center for meth addiction that I suffered from for about 10 years. And early in my recovery, they told me that I needed a relationship with God to stay sober. And I kind of freaked out about that because I really wasn't sure if I believed in God.
You met Travis 10 years ago. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we were in a halfway house together. He'd come in a couple months after me. He had started doing some of the work, the step work and stuff that they'd give you to do in treatment centers. And he seemed to struggle when he got to step 3, which is the step about finding God and having a relationship with the God of your understanding. And so I shared my experience with him and my understanding of God and let him know that just to do the work and walk through it. And, you know, you'll find God if you seek him out.
I had a friend in there, Chad Fellows, that he was a man of faith, and he saw me freaking out, I think, one day and just came to me and just said these simple words. He just said, if you seek God, he'll show himself to you. And that was probably the best advice I've ever gotten in my life, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
He did that. You know, he did a lot of reading. He's gone to some churches, and he's really put the effort in. And, you know, he found God, you know. And it was really good that I had the opportunity to share that with him. And like I said, you know, people just come into my path, and right. That's where I feel the calling to do that.
10 years ago, and here we are 10 years later, and
right.
He's serving at a church. And his faith is growing, all because you, for lack of a better word, loved on him.
If Chad reached out to you again, or if you remember that he had invited you to 514, and Travis asked me, and I said, let's
go. He never steered me wrong before, so we decided to try it out, you know? From the very first service, we knew this was the place. I have a lot of favorite moments at 514, but probably my daughter Audrey's baptism was the most powerful moment that I've experienced at 514 Church. You know, she's been going through these battles with eating disorder and just being so strong and sharing her story. And it just makes me really proud that you know, she's willing to share that with others to hopefully help someone, you know. So I started on the setup team, and man, those guys are just amazing. You know, every Sunday morning we get there, we work hard, we laugh hard, and you know, we just love each other. You know, pray for each other. It's just it's a great way to start the Sunday morning before service.
Like I said, it's just God put people in my way, mm-hmm. and just trying to do what God would have me to do.
Would you change your past at all, knowing all the crap you went through? Would you change it knowing where God has you today?
I wouldn't now. If you'd asked me that 5 or 6 years ago, yeah, I would like a redo mm-hmm. of sorts, but not now, because I feel like I have a way to relate to people that otherwise aren't going to be reached.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's quite an advantage, and it's part of God's plan, and I'm excited about doing God's work, and, mm-hmm. and I just want him to use me as a vessel to try to help other people around me.
What I would say to Chad is just thank you so much for being such a man of God and be willing to reach out and share your experience and just help anyone that you come in contact with, you know, just those simple words to seek God and he'll show himself to you changed my life, and I couldn't have done it without him.
Wow, what a great story. Every person in this room is going to be presented with an opportunity to take some step, to speak some simple words, to communicate to that someone that God loves them. And imagine, just take a minute, imagine if your focus on someone over something led to husband, wife, involved in the local church, their kids trusting God. Imagine, one family. What if you were responsible because you said, I'm done with any of these somethings. I'm only going to care and try and love and reach and pray for this one person. What would happen to someone's life if everybody in here took that burden and made it their personal responsibility? So that's our vision. That's our vision. I need to say that again. That story is our vision. That we want to cultivate in everything we do. Jesus followers passionate about reaching people who aren't here. And that everything we do through series and teaching and small groups is going to be that as we cultivate, as we grow, as we learn, as we trust, as we pray, as we give, as we build a building, as we do everything we do, it's with that fruit in mind. That someone who's not here yet, but will be, because you guys believe in this so much. So that's the end of scaffolding. And what I want to ask you guys to do is I want you to buy in to this. I want everyone to buy in. And I want everyone to take a step buying in today. And maybe you don't understand it. And maybe this is still confusing to you. And maybe there's something that doesn't feel right to you. Whatever that is, I want to ask you to just, if you're interested, to say, I will move in that direction. Than to just go in the back and buy a t-shirt and buy into this thing. We're making no money on these t-shirts, just covering our costs. We want every person who loves 514 Church to be reminded all the time that this whole thing is about someone, not something. And so those guys are in the back. There's all shapes and sizes. I mean, it looks pretty good. So please, you guys, go and get one before you leave, and let me say a prayer for us. Before we do that, Father, I pray right now that you would put that someone on our minds. Who is that someone that you have placed in our lives? They need you. They need forgiveness. They need hope. They need friends. God, they need you. They need healing. I pray that every person in here would take these 4 weeks and allow this burden to become personal to them. God, give that person some hope through the people in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.